I hear no audio, sir. Nope, current.
Can you hear me?
It is. There it is. There it is. There it is. You
good? All right. All good. So I just wanted to come and say I definitely feel that. Everybody's saying it's been a crazy day. I'm feeling that. I made myself a little iced latte, and now I'm like shaking. So hopefully I can translate all that energy into this lesson right here. But it's definitely been a long day. And so, you know, Rachel and I are so excited that we get to speak with you guys tonight on just being good friends to the people around you. I think that's such a powerful thing. And so, and we definitely have learned so much just from our own experiences throughout the campus. And I think we have a lot definitely to share on this point. But well, I think many of these points we're going to be sharing can be applied to, I feel like, both people that are disciples and people that are not alike. Rachel and I are really going to try to focus on people that have not made Jesus Lord of their life. Because I think that's a different kind of group, and you need to definitely meet them where they're at. So maybe it's a classmate for you or it's a coworker, but I'm sure that we've all been at that point with people around us where we just struggle to develop a relationship with them. And so hopefully you guys leave here feeling just equipped. You feel inspired to go out, you know, go out while you're just kind of living your life and be able to develop deep personal bonds with those people around you that maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus. And then maybe through that friendship, they'll come to know who he is. So that's the goal. And let me just say this too. I really want to like just praise you guys. And I feel like you guys have grown tremendously over the past year. So give yourselves just a round of applause. Give yourself a pat on the back. Give yourself something. You know, I feel like this group right here has done a terrific job in this area specifically. And I feel like it's almost kind of like night and day. You know, I've seen you guys bring out your friends, your classmates. I've seen you study the Bible with them and really step out of your comfort zones. And so I know that God is pleased and is happy with that genuine effort that you guys have been putting forth. And I think with that being said, something like this, like a topic like this, it doesn't end. Amen. Right? It's a continual thing that we're learning. We can always grow in just being more relational and loving the lost. And so God is not done using you. And with that, I really want to hop into our scripture tonight, which is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. And starting again in verse 19, it says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to win everyone. To win as many as possible. Oh, sorry. A slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings." So look at Paul's response here. He says that though he was free, he's chosen actively to become a slave to everyone so that he could possibly win a few of them. Paul was willing to put himself aside, put his ego aside, put his own wants and desires aside for the sake of the gospel and to help people know Jesus. I think that's so powerful. That's such a not easy thing to do, to put yourself aside for somebody else. And so that leads us to the main title of this lesson, which is just all things to all people. Coming straight from the scripture, right? We're all things to all people. And our first point we're going to be talking about is within that umbrella, is what do I need to become? Right? Paul talks about, you know, all the things that he became. So what do I need to become? And then our second point is going to be, why do I need to become? All right. And so flowing into this first point of what do I need to become? Like I was talking about, what I love is that Paul is here in this scripture. He knew exactly what he needed to become, right? He lists it out. He says that he became a slave. He says that he became a Jew to some people. He says he became someone under the law. And then on the flip, he became someone not under the law or not having the law. And then to some people, he became weak, right? To win the weak. And so Paul was truly someone that was able to meet people where they needed him. He knew his audience very distinctly. And because he knew his audience, that informed his ability to adapt to that audience. Does that make sense? See, I think for you, you need to ask yourself, who is your audience, right? Who is the people that are around you, right? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe it's just like an old friend from high school or middle school or somebody you grew up with. Or maybe it's just someone you met randomly, right? At a coffee shop or whatever, right? Who is your audience? Who are you around? I think that this is an important first part to this whole point because we all have different needs. If we try to meet everyone's need in the same way, we're going to miss out on a lot of relationships and people that could potentially be transformed through those relationships simply because there was no depth, right? And because we didn't meet them with where they needed to, where they were, right? And so, see, when we meet people where they're at, that relationship automatically has substance. And it isn't just like a surface level relationship, because you're really diving into their world. Not only do we need to acknowledge who our audience is, you know, ask ourselves that, but then also on the flip side, we have to dive into ourselves, right? We need to own and know our own personal background and our own conscious or unconscious biases. I think that these all inform how you really develop a relationship with someone. Let me give you an example, right? So I grew up in this church, right? My whole life. And I think that there was a time, and even now I have to be really conscious of this, that there'll be things that I'll say or do that immediately put me in a box socially, right? So once I came into campus though, a lot of these things kind of became a lot more apparent. And so honestly, if I'm real, I feel like I've seen you guys kind of fall into the same traps. And so I really want to help make you guys aware of some of these things so that we can kind of move forward. I think the first thing, and I feel like a lot of times people bring this up, is this idea of certain lingo, right? Certain things that are said. Everybody knows, right? Like, you know, maybe you use certain terms, encouragement dates, things like that. What is that? Nobody knows what that is. Anybody that's hasn't grown up in the church their whole life is going to be like really confused by certain things that are said. So I think we just got to be really aware of those things in ourselves. And maybe sometimes it's not even related to this specifically, but related to being in the church, but it's something else, right? But you got to ask yourself, what are your biases? I think another thing that I see with people that specifically grew up in the church is that people that have similar upbringings. So naturally, as humans, we're prone to sticking with people that are similar to us. It's just kind of human nature. We kind of group naturally. You see this all the time. We kind of, you know, maybe somebody comes from another country. They're naturally kind of going to look for a group that's similar to them, right? Maybe it's the same culture or something. And that's why you have, you know, you have certain cultures or communities really isolated or honed in certain parts of the city. You see it all the time. You know, if you go to Harlem, tends to be a lot of, right, like Dominicans or Puerto Ricans, right? Just very naturally. And so we do this. We do this without really thinking about it. But I've seen this definitely in the church as well, that it's easy to connect with people at events like a Devo or Sunday that you have a similar upbringing with. And it's probably mostly unconscious. You're not really probably thinking about it. But it's something that we need to be conscious about. You know, people maybe you've seen throughout the teen ministry or maybe also grew up in this church, right? In using another lingo term, right? But it's like kingdom kids, right? That's what we refer to, people that grew up in the church. And I think it's convenient and easy to stay within this almost bubble of kingdom kids or people that grew up in the church, have a similar upbringing as you, this kind of bubble, because there's a lot you guys can connect on, right? You guys have a similar upbringing. So it's easy. You feel comfortable to connect with them. But what ends up happening is that the people that haven't grown up in this church or haven't grown up in the same ministry as you or are coming out to service for the first time are going to be on the outskirts. And I've seen it time and time again that they tend to be on the outskirts. They don't have deep relationships with people or they have a hard time connecting with people. And it's really sad, you know, because what goes through my mind is, okay, if I wasn't here or if Caleb or Rachel or Mark and Hannah weren't there, who would these people be acknowledged in the fellowship? Would these people really feel loved and feel like they are important and the focus? And so so I think we have to ask ourselves that, right? Do I have these unconscious biases? Am I aware of how I am in these settings? I think you need to get comfortable. We need to get comfortable as a campus ministry with surrounding ourselves with people that are not like us. To be honest, if you aren't comfortable doing that, even within the disciples, you know, how do you hope to surround yourselves with people who aren't like you, that aren't disciples, right? What are you going to do in that situation? You know, I remember I heard a story once in another lesson, and the minister was saying that, you know, he had studied the Bible with a guy who loved baseball. Right. So, and the minister didn't really care about baseball. And so, you know, in order to really connect with the guy, he decided to learn baseball. And later on, you know, the guy gets baptized. Right. And, you know, he's studying the Bible with another person who loves golf. And the guy who just got baptized, you know, was kind of complaining, you know, like, hey, I don't really connect with him. I hate golf. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know? And the minister was like, do you think I care about baseball? Like, do you really think I care? He's like, I care because you care about it. Right. And so I learned it for you. Now it's your turn to do the same for this other person. I think so often, I think we get caught up in our own inclinations, right? The things that we're drawn to naturally. And we let that be the thing that we focus on more than what does God want us to do, right? And more than focusing on these other things. And so what inclinations or biases do you bring to the table, right? Are you in a similar situation? Now Rachel's gonna go ahead and share a little bit more on this point.
So, it's weird. I can hear my echo from Manny's computer. So I'll be sharing more so like what it's not, like what's like when we hear this, right? We see this scripture and he talks about Paul talking about, though I am free, I can do whatever I want. And, but his heart is like, I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. This is not a time to kind of just be like, well, yeah, that's right. Like, I'm free and I can do whatever I want. Like, it's not a time to sit back and not do your part, or this is not something, I think I myself had thought through with, like, thinking, okay, like, if I'm trying to be, if I'm trying to win over people in the world, right? Like, then I just have to, maybe I'll like agree with the things that they're saying or the things they do. And, maybe things they can get tempted, like, that aren't, you know, the best things or righteous things to be doing. And it's like, okay, well, this is not that, like, to just agree, like agreeing with those things that they're tempted with and just falling into that temptation of doing that too. And like meeting them in that place, like, that's not, it's not like falling into that sin with them, you know? And this is not just trying to blend in either. It's not about just this approval of from people, but it is more so about just sharing the heart of Jesus and wanting to please God. And it's not about like being accepted. I think of, I think there's wisdom and discernment with when to share like from the heart, deeper struggles to relate, right, with people and have them see like, you know, I'm just like you, where I fall short and there are times I need help. And this is, you know, this is what I do when I need help. I pray or I read my Bible. Like, there's moments that we can they have that and share that, that heart of like relating to someone with their struggles, but not just like being like, yeah, I struggle with that too. And like not like share just, or being a light. I think we could take, really make the most of those opportunities. Like when we're with our friends, like on campus, and we're, you know, they're not disciples, they don't follow God, but we're trying to befriend them and be a light. Like, these are moments we can be a light, that these are opportunities to speak up and share. Like, if you have similar struggles, or even like, I'm thinking about even just like that example of like what Emmanuel was saying, like using Christian like lingo, like, just be yourself. I think there is wisdom again with that discernment of how to share with, from your heart. I think using words that are natural and relatable without sounding like, I don't know, like you, like they're not, like they don't feel like they get you or that you get them because of like Christian lingo. And I think another thing that I found myself falling short of and can be easy to give into is to, when someone's like sharing their stuff with me and things that they go on in the world and maybe their struggles, like some friends I'm building in my classes, when they're like going through hard times, you know, it's easy to act like, what they're going through has no like solution. You know, it's easy to kind of like pretend like, yeah, that's tough. Yeah. And give into like that worldly idea, like that, but the truth is like Jesus can bring them healing and Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the one who's going to really heal them and help them. And so we can't act like that, that this doesn't work, you know, when it does, and it's changed my life. And, I think we need to be more aware of that too, and take on opportunity, like hop on those opportunities, like in those conversations when our friends are being open with us. And this is not at all like when we care about them too, or we have, and I'm referring to people that we know and maybe are opening up more with us in this way. Like, you know, it's not going to come across like the self-righteous, like the I know better attitude because like they know you, you know, they know your heart. And if this is something with like someone new, of course, we don't want to have that heart. We want to, don't want to come across like the I know better, because we're still working and learning and growing and things. But a great way is just being humble and bringing things back to Jesus and sharing and expressing like there's that need, like I need Jesus, like, you know, and showing them because like I need Jesus and he helps me, like maybe it can work for you too, kind of thing. And I just love that reminder too, that like Jesus died for us like at our worst. You know, he didn't die for us when I was at my best, but he died at my worst when I didn't even choose him, when I wasn't even a disciple, when I'm in, was in the situation where other people are at, right? When I'm sharing with them or befriending them or meeting someone new or someone has come out like to service in their new faith. Like a lot of these people are searching and they're seeking, and God really does set up times and places for them to be there. And I think we can make the most of opportunities with just being loving and talking to them, engaging with people in that place of life. I'm just remembering when there were moments I was going through a hard time when I wasn't a disciple and I was definitely seeking and searching. And when people came up to me, like they made me feel really loved and noticed and seen. And I was like, wow, like there's something here. There's something here that like I can see in people's lives, like that's different. And like, I want that, you know, because of, I saw the way they loved and made me feel loved. In John 8, verse 31-32, when we hold to Jesus' teachings, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free, you know, from our sin. And so I think we also need to be patient with our friends too, like our friends, loved ones, with how to, like, with our friends that aren't disciples, but as well as like those that we are reaching out to, right? We need to be patient with people, and we have to let people discover truth. They need to come to that truth just as much as like I've sat down, people study the Bible with me, and like I was able to really study that out and find out what are Jesus's teachings and how can I hold to the truth and apply that to then discover, wow, like what is true, rather than coming across in a way that's like kind of strong and like you know, like people that I think all the more in personal settings can feel like a lot when someone's just kind of like coming at them with correction or, you know, this is boom, 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 like all the things like you're doing wrong. And, you know, I think that's not really like meeting someone where they're at. So we need to be patient with people and let them discover that, like, okay, they need to study out Jesus's teachings and they need to apply it to then discover what truth that Jesus has in the scriptures. And yeah, so then we can't just expect them to get it right away. And that's the part of just being more like Jesus and God, because love is patient, and that we get to emulate that with these people, and we can love them in this way with being patient with them. And yeah, so I think that's a great part too, just helping them being reflecting that patience, but also still being a friend where you can share things that are relatable. So going along with that too, I think we can help share as in practicals, like your experiences that can help and be relatable to the person too, to help them. I think asking questions as well as like, oh, like, where are you at? Like with your relationship with God, like how has it been spiritually, and like seeing where people are at, like, I think helps a lot, just gauging like how you can be a light to them. Especially if it's like, they're like, yeah, like I believe in God, but you know, I don't really know. Or, you know, if you can ask like, oh, so would you like, what are some things you want to grow in your relationship with God? And then from there, if they have things that they are sharing that they'd want to grow in, it's like, oh, well, my church does these Bible study series where we kind of look at the foundations of just Christianity, what it means to follow God, but like have a relationship with him. And you know, like as like a little plug, like helping them, you know, give them that opportunity of like giving them the shot of just studying the Bible too. And even if they're like, yeah, no, I don't know. And I think like, it's powerful when we're still friends with them. Like it's powerful when we're still like, just asking them how they're doing and checking in and like in passing, like talking to them and not being like weird afterwards and like, oh, they're not interested and like kind of going off. I think we're the ones that can make it weird when we really don't have to be doing that, when God's been patient and is offering that, but is just patient with their journey too. And so I think it's great to know like that they can know, okay, who I can go to, but still being loving and patient without like coming on too strong. And even just this passage to what it's not, you know, we're not here to like people please. I know my tendency can like my sinful nature is to people please. And so when I read this passage, Paul, I'm like, oh, wow. Like he made himself a slave to people to win them over and became like them. And it's like, I had to like reuse that, like switch my train of thinking. Like, yes, there's gifts that I love people and want to like connect with people, but it's not to people please in a way to like make it about me, but this is about how to help them get to God, you know, and then how to be a light and loving them. And so it's kind of like using that and switching it in a way that's going to be honoring to God. Yeah. So it's not a time to go back to the old ways of people pleasing for that approval, but more so being like Jesus and being more outward focused rather than like inwardly focused. And so I just love that, like how Jesus was that way. Like he was more outward focused when we look at his life, and he was the one that was doing more of the influencing than being influenced. And I'm going to pass it back to Manny.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You guys can hear me, right? Okay, cool. I put my headphones back in, so I wasn't sure. But I think it's a great point, you know, and those are some great practicals, right? It's important to know, okay, what it is, but then also what it's not, right? What is, what it's not. And, you know, I think once you recognize, you know, who your audience is, you know, who you're speaking to, and you're able to recognize for yourself, like look inwardly and be like, okay, these are my biases. These are the things that I tend to lean towards, right? Or the people I tend to lean towards. Once you're able to recognize that, then I think you can focus on being all things to all people. And to really implement that, I think we got to look back at the master of this, which is Jesus. In Philippians 2, verse 5, I love this scripture. This was my theme scripture in high school. It says, in your relationships with one another, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a powerful scripture. And it says that in our relationships with each other, we should think like Jesus thought. And then it talks about how he was literally God and didn't even try to use that, but rather he decides that he's gonna become a servant for us, for the same people that killed him. And ultimately, he did this so that we would have a chance at a relationship with him. And this is the same exact mentality that we need to be going into our relationships with. We need to see that, you know, we need to become servants to help people that aren't Christians around us so that we could potentially help them to have that relationship with God. Just how Jesus gave us a chance, we get to then be that light for others. And, you know, we need to think, I'm going to make myself a servant for this classmate, for this roommate, for this friend. I need to humble myself. And if you're able to humble yourself in that way, the rest, I think, will come naturally. The rest of that relationship, the rest of whatever you're trying to do, ultimately, is going to come naturally. But if you're being prideful and you don't want to give up your wants and needs and you're fighting tooth and nail, then you're not going to see that fruit in that relationship. So kind of back to the title of this first point, it's what do I need to become? Right? What do you need to become in your relationships with the people around you, with your audience? Maybe it's a friend, right? Maybe they just need you to be a friend. You need to become that, you know. I love being just friends to people, showing them that I care, right? I tend to do this best through hobbies and things like that, right? Like I'll go play basketball with a group of guys, you know, or I'll do a hobby that they like, you know, maybe it's something else, you know, but I kind of appeal. I remember I went fishing with a couple guys, you know, I've never been fishing before, but I'll go fishing, you know, they like fishing, you know, just to connect. I played baseball with guys that I've been reaching out to, things like that. You know, just being a good friend to them, do life together, right? Really getting invested in their lives can really have such a big impact. And it could be what they need. Maybe they just need a friend. Maybe you need to become a listener for somebody. Maybe somebody just, they just want somebody to, that's going to be there to listen to them, to empathize for them, to really hear them out, right? Maybe they just need, they need you to become a supporter, right? They need somebody that's going to encourage them. Maybe they don't get enough of that in their daily life, and they need somebody that's going to just support them, to back them, to be behind them, you know, on the regular. Or maybe it's just somebody who understands, somebody that will understand them, that won't judge them, that'll be this safe place for them to go to. But like I said, you know, what you need to become, I feel like, is actually less important than having that attitude of Christ Jesus, right? Because if you're a servant to someone else, you're going to see the gaps that they're missing in their relationships. And then you're naturally just going to want to fill those in, right? If you're thinking in that mindset, like, how can I serve? How can I give? How can I really love this person next to me? You're going to naturally see these gaps and you're going to want to fill it, as opposed to just like jumping to the solution of like, okay, let me just be a friend. You know what I mean? Like, let me just do all these things. Maybe that's not what they need. You know, you really got to learn them. You got to be humble. You got to be a servant to them. And then that'll come. And so I know for me, I've built so many deep relationships with people throughout my time in college, with people that I've studied with, people that I've baptized, and people that have even decided, you know, maybe they don't want to make Jesus Lord, you know, but they know that I'm somebody that they can go to for a safe place. I built so many relationships like that. And I think the key hasn't been that I'm super eloquent or, you know, I say all the right things to them or anything like that, but it's just that, you know, I decide to put whoever it is in front of me, I decide to put them first. I decide to put their needs first. I think of what they need right now and how I can just really love them. I can be there for them. I can support them, listen to them. You know, and one of the things that I mentioned before is that people really need sometimes is just to be a good listener. And so I know listening isn't easy. And sometimes people are better at it than others, but I really want to give you guys some practicals here. So Rachel and I are going to do something a little different. We're going to do a little example of what a good conversation and really listening should look like. So Rachel, if you want to unmute yourself too. So I'm just going to give a mock, if this is just your friend, if this is a classmate, whoever it is. Hey, what's up, Rachel? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, this week's been pretty busy, but I'm, you know, I'm doing all right. How's your week been?
My week was good. I hung out with my siblings and I saw my nephews.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you close to your siblings at all?
We're working on it. We weren't that close, but yeah, we're working on it now.
Yeah, I feel that. You know, I think every family has some things that they're working through. But I'm sure you care about them deeply and stuff. And so how was the time? What did you guys do?
Steven made ribs, and then I hung out with Lucas and Levi, and we're all like huddling around Layla too, bothering her moments when she was awake. But how was your week? What did you do?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, you know. Not much, I can't complain, you know. So basically that's the gist, right? We could keep going and, you know, kind of dive into it even deeper. Riz, yes, that's game, guys. But that you see what I'm doing here is, honestly, I'm not doing anything extraordinary. But there's a few things that I feel like I am doing that can really help take you guys to the next level, right? With your conversations with people that maybe you don't even connect with, right? Even if there's nothing, I've talked to people that I have nothing in common with, you know? But we're able to hold a great conversation, and I feel like I'm able to get to know them really well just by doing a few examples. I mean, a few practicals here. So what I'm doing is I'm active listening, right? I'm listening to what Rachel is saying and the things that she brings up, right? I don't just like pass on. I think sometimes what we can do is we can hear something and we just move on to the next thing, all right? But you know, I'm like diving deeper. I ask questions about what she's talking about. See, okay, how can I get her to talk more? How can I get her to let me into her life right here? And how can I get to know her even better? And so I think what we need to do with, you know, the people with your audience, whether it's that friend or it's a classmate or a coworker, or just somebody that, you know, if they're coming out to service for the first time, ask them how they're doing, right? Ask them about these different things that everybody can kind of, there's going to be something that they're going to say. And then you just keep asking them questions, get to know them, right? Ask about what they're just talking about. It's super, for me, it's, and maybe it's, this is something you need to work at, but I feel like I wasn't the best conversationalist. And just by doing this little fact, like if they say something, I'm going to latch on to that. And I'm going to be like, okay, I can ask a question about that. You know what I mean? And just get them talking, because then you're going to get to know them really well. Take it a step further, go deeper in that conversation. And then something that can be helpful, you know, maybe they mentioned, hey, you know, I really had a tough week, you know, it's something, you know, I had a crazy exam or something happened or whatever. And you know that it's something that's going to happen in the future or whatever, you know, follow up with them the next week. Like, hey, how did that exam go? You know, how are you feeling about it? Right. Stuff like that. That goes a long way for people. You know, if you are able to really listen and not just hear what they're saying, but actually take it in, listen, absorb it and remember it. You know, that can be the difference maker right there. And so with that, flowing into now that you need to be. Our second point is, why do I need to become? And I love in this scripture, Paul listed out so many times. Paul's reasoning was simple. It's to win as many as possible. He says that it's so that he might be able to save some of them. That's why he becomes what he becomes. It's so that he can pull people back to Jesus. We become so that we can help people know who Jesus is. This is how Jesus' sacrifice and humility was so that we could have the opportunity to get to know him. We get to be humble so that others can also get to know him. I think of Luke 19, verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Right? Our goal is to give people that best chance at building a relationship with God. So even if it means us getting uncomfortable, doing something that maybe we're not familiar with, it's all worth it in the end, because we're seeing people get saved, seeing people being brought to Christ. Amen. And so for us, as people who are baptized and want to put Jesus first, we're called to help other people know who he is. And if there are things that we can do to make it easier for your coworker or classmate to connect or understand their need, then why not just do it? And now that doesn't mean like to change or to water down the truth of the gospel, but it means loving people how they are going to feel loved. That's what it means. It's how they're going to feel loved. You know, no one, you've heard this quote probably, and it stays true. It's no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And we need to remember that. And that's why we become all these things, is so that people know that we care about them, because we do, right? We care about them because God cares about them. And that remains true. And we just want to see them have the best life that they can. through Christ. And so for me, what I've noticed as being the way I can accomplish this or both these tasks is through taking God wherever I go. And you probably have heard this term before, this idea, thought process. It's called lifestyle evangelism. What is lifestyle evangelism? And it basically just means that. It means taking God with you throughout your daily life. I think that can be such an important and key thing in your relationships. And honestly, I kind of view it more as this mentality, right? It's like, I'm going to set my heart and my mind on things above, right? Like when my mind is constantly viewing things from a kingdom perspective, like how can I bring God into this situation? How can I really implement scripture into this other situation? And so, you know, as I go throughout my day, I'm thinking that just how can I bring God up? How can I bring him with me? You know, if there are things that I'm already doing, it's like, why not just combine it all, right? Why not bring God here? Why try to exclude an aspect of my life? This is who I am, right? And so something I do frequently, I mentioned before, is I'll go play basketball with people, right? Even now, you know, I've been getting to know people in my neighborhood. I didn't know anybody, right? And I just go to the local basketball court, I play ball with them, and I invite them out to Devo. I invite them out to Sunday service. You know, I'm just trying to build relationships with them, you know, and now I'm like in the group chats with them. I love it. You know, I'm in there, I'm in the mix. But I think the more we can bring God with us just in whatever we're doing and just look for opportunities to bring that, the more you're going to see that God is going to work through that. And so I think one easy way to do this is even just through conversations, just like the one that Rachel and I were talking through. You know, if you look for opportunities to mention your faith, you're going to see God kind of answer that, you know? And so I'm constantly, as I'm talking with somebody, I'm like looking for that opportunity. Like, how can I just share something that I'm learning in my own faith? And, you know, when we're becoming what we need to become, people are going to want to know what we're all about. Right? If you're doing what you need to do, you're becoming who you need to become, like we were talking about, people are just going to be intrigued by that. You know, if we're able to connect with people emotionally by being an active listener, or we're able to earn their respect by like saucing them on the basketball court, I've noticed that people are more receptive to hearing about a campus event or a Bible study or something like that than maybe they would have been otherwise. And so sometimes it softens people up to where the point where they're more receptive. And I'll add that sometimes it doesn't happen right away. You know, like I mentioned, many of the people I built relationships with in college, you know, they decided that they weren't ready to put Jesus first. But who's to say that they won't in the future? Right? The depth of that friendship you built could be just the seed that they need planted in their heart so that, you know, when they are ready, God is going to make that grow in due time, you know? And so it's not wasted effort. You know, you're really investing there. And that doesn't mean to surround yourself necessarily also with bad company, just to kind of plant seeds everywhere, but it means being a light and a friend of sinners, right? Because we're all messed up. We all need Jesus, but we need to be a light to the people around us. And so now Rachel's going to share briefly on being like Jesus.
So I love like looking at Jesus as our example, because he's just does everything right. We can always look to him with a lot of ways we can grow. And I just think of this specific area too. He really lived out lifestyle evangelism. And he was the one having the greatest influence on the people around him. I just think about like classroom friends that we can have, right? I remember there was, for many years, I just was like terrified of sharing my faith or like befriending someone in my class. Cause then I thought if I share with them, like, it'd be weird if they're not interested and I have to keep seeing them. Or like, I thought if I became their friends, oh, then I have to share, like, and that could be scary too. I was just scared to share with people, but I wanted to really challenge myself. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go after making friends. And even though it's like, you know, I know it's like in the middle of the school year now, I think that can even be a challenge of like, okay, this week, like, or even if you do have friends already in class, like, what are some ways like you're being a light? Like, do you have Bible talk on campus? Like, that's something you can invite them out to. And it doesn't have to be weird, you know, it doesn't have to be like in a weird way. And I think because sometimes it's like the opposite problem where people can have friends on campus and have friends with people that aren't disciples, but then don't know how to be a light to them. And so that's kind of what I'm addressing right now. And so that's just something like, it doesn't have to be weird. It's only weird if we make it weird. just as if there was an event on campus and something's going on. It's like, oh, you're going to go to that? It's like, just like that. Like, oh, there's this Bible talk. I'm going to go. Do you want to come? Like, and I remember I had two friends specifically that were in like a ton of my psychology classes, and I invited them out every time and they said no for like a month, but eventually they came. And then one of the girls actually from there, like, started studying the Bible and was like, oh wow. And just like saw like, it's not as weird as like she thought it was, you know? But I just wanted to read really quick, just even just example, like some, like example, if we get to see Jesus in Mark 2, verse 13 to 17. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him. He began to teach them. As he walked along, he said, Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth, follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for they were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why you eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so I just love like the heart of just when we look at Jesus, like he was kind of popular, like he had a crowd around him, you know, and he just used those opportunities to teach. He wasn't like basking in the glory of like attention, like that wasn't his heart. And I just loved how he initiated with Levi, you know, this tax collector who was known as like a swindler. He didn't judge him, but rather befriended him and was taking notice of him. And instead of waiting for him to talk to him, like he went after Levi first. And I just think about like, I love seeing just people's hearts when they're like, after church is over, they want to go eat and grab something together. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, those are great opportunities as well to bring other people that are like, you know, maybe you don't know that well. Like, instead of just going with just your friends and the people you know, it's like, that's a great opportunity to invite someone else that is a new face, to help pull them in and just befriend them, you know, taking notice of them. And just like, I noticed even these small things too. Like, I'm sure Jesus was like, when I picture Jesus, like, I'm sure he was so welcoming. He had such a welcoming attitude. And these small things, like being kind and being warm, having a smile on your face, like smiling when you see someone and saying, oh, hi. Like, just being friendly and giving, like that honestly goes such a long way. Like, even like if in service too, if I'm turn around and I see a new face and we make eye contact, I just smile. Like, it's just weird if like I make eye contact and it's like, okay. Like, but that really goes a long way. Like, that makes people feel loved. That makes people feel noticed. That makes people feel special. Like, wow, okay. Like, yeah. And even just going up to them and say hi first, like how Jesus initiated, we can be the ones to go up and say hi to people rather than waiting, you know, because they're not gonna go out their way if they don't know anyone. And so we kind of have to take on that responsibility if we want to be like Jesus in this way. And I just remember one time there was someone in Queens that was a visitor, kept coming out for a few events, and they actually stopped coming. And my friend who invited him told me like, yeah, he's not coming anymore because he didn't feel loved by people in our group. And then what was worse is that he even specifically said my name. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Just like from small interactions of like not saying hi or like you know, being loving and warm and welcoming. Like, I remember specifically, I was avoiding that person low key. And that's so bad. Like, in my head, I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to say hi or give this person attention because I don't want them to think I like them. Like, what? Like, I don't know. I feel like I was just thinking so much about myself and more about me rather than the opportunity to be like Jesus, to just be loving and setting the tone of like welcoming someone. Like, you know, like I know in our comment here, a lot of you guys were like saying like, ooh, Riz, I know y'all are just messing, but I feel like even if it's just like a conversation, literally, like it doesn't have to mean anything more than that. I think, again, going back to just like how people knew like they're Jesus, the disciples of Jesus because of the way they loved, you know? And so I just think about that. Like the heart is loving people and wanting people to feel loved and remembered that they're loved. And that's so sad. It breaks my heart and just challenged me to know like that person, like that was their reasoning of not coming no more, was because they didn't feel loved. And I'm like, dang, you know? And so I just wanted to make sure. And I was looking out then for people that I didn't really know and will go out my way to like welcome those that are new and probably feel like weird because they don't know anyone, maybe feel left out, and wanting to make sure they're feeling welcomed and loved. Because by this, everyone will know that, you know, you are my disciples if you love one another. And so that's a little that I'm going to share. And we're going to close out here, passing it back to Manny.
Yeah, so I'm just going to close, but I think that's some great points there. So thank you, Rachel. But in order for you to know what you have to become, you first need to know who your audience is, right? You need to know your personal tendencies, your inclinations, the things that you naturally just go towards. You need to know those things. And most importantly, you need to be humble so that you can better meet that person where they're at. Amen. And then once you do that, odds are they're going to feel comfortable enough for you to open up the word with them and then let God change their lives. And then we're going to really become all things to all people, and we're really going to win some of them. So amen. Thank you, guys. That's all.